Okay, so just a show of hands. How many of you feel like you really bring your full passion and sensuality to your primary relationship? One guy. Right. Right. And you probably bring hers too. So it's really important that you feel like you bring that fully to the relationship. Okay. And I don't know what it's going to take you to do that. But it's going to take trusting in yourself a lot more in some way. Okay, whatever those wounds are in your chakras that give you the excuse not to do that with the person that you have decided this is the one I'm going to work through, the energy of union, of finding God through relationship. Okay, not bringing the gateway to heaven with you, the energy, seems like a little bit of a sabotage. Okay, so I want you to just this is a really essential journey for you. Just a show of hands, how many of you have the lesser or have had in your relationships the lesser sexual drive? Okay, how many of you have the greater sexual drive? Okay, good. So we're a little more. We got a little more on the, just a few more of the lowers than the highers. That's good. Okay. And I want to see, it's not like everybody's going to have the lower sexual drive. But I want you to really, can the people with the higher sex drive know what it feels like to be controlled by it, right? People with the lower sex drive don't always recognize the power and the lower self lusciousness of being able to say no. This is where I own you. And it's a really, really important power that nobody admits to, but it's one of the things that will drive your relationship apart if you don't own that you get huge negative pleasure from it. Now, the person who has the high sex drive, the person who has the higher sex drive gets, so we're not, you're not off scot-free, folks. No victims here, right? Okay? The person with a higher sex drive takes enormous negative pleasure in criticizing the lower sex drive person, being judgmental of them, right? If it's the only action you get, it's, you know, right?
Right? Really enjoy it.
Yeah. So fighting. Fighting is another way to express sexual energy. And so battling is just how you're going to do it. And so the higher sex drive means you have higher testosterone and more of a drive to control. And so both people are responsible for the balance in the relationship. Okay? They're responsible for the passion level of the relationship. Is everybody with me on that? So just recognize that you can get into that little game and stay in it for the rest of your life. And it's so luscious to be able to say they're the problem.
There's a really great author on this topic called David Schnarch. He's a funny last name. But he wrote a brilliant book called Passionate Marriage, which I really recommend that anyone who's in a long-term relationship read that book. He talks about how to bring passion, back into your marriage. And he talks about marriage as the crucible. Sex and marriage, people growing machines, you know. So how much we evolve. And he has a recipe for what he calls light socket sex. You know, wall socket sex, like being plugged into the outlet and ramping up your sexual juice that way. And he also talks about what he calls leftovers. So if you have in one circle what your sexual appetite is and somebody else's interests and appetite, your partner's, wherever they overlap, this small area where they overlap is your sex life with your partner. And what else you got on the other side of the circle is leftovers. And that's something that creates a lot of problems and friction in people's relationships, and it's why people look at pornography and have affairs and, you know, to meet their sexual needs in the wholeness of themselves as a sexual being that are not getting met inside their relationship. And in his book, he helps couples address these issues. It's really good.
And it's, you know, ultimately that power dynamic between the higher sex drive and lower sex drive are that neither one actually ever ask for what they really need. They're just angry around the demand for more, either more than they can give or demand to be less than they are. Okay, so that's, so, and then what ends up happening is as Lisa says, you end up having an agreed upon element which doesn't fill either person's needs. Right. And so, how's everybody doing on that? How does that feel? Nancy, you already talked. I would like to hear from people that have not been, don't generally talk. Yeah. Do you want to come up? There we go. Phallic symbol.
So I've had both in my relationship with my, with my husband, because when we first were together, the first couple of years, I was the one with the higher sex drive. And then there was a betrayal in the relationship. We ended up breaking up 2 weeks before we were supposed to get married. And we broke up for 2 years. And now since we got back together, we've been married 25 years, but he has the higher sex drive. And I can definitely see where I hold the shit over his head.
Right.
So.
And so just let in that the chances of the dynamic changing are very slight.
Mm-hmm.
Your lack of forgiveness closes your second chakra and makes it feel like you have less sex drive.
So when it opens, I'll have more.
Well, it's just yeah. Well, when you actually forgive him, you'll be able to be free again. Forgiveness makes you free. Okay, and so without forgiveness, if for those of you that have been in relationship with someone for a long time, you've got all kinds of things you don't forgive them for. Every lack of forgiveness lops off a piece of that second chakra. Okay, and so you can actually get to a place where you don't have any drive, but all of a sudden it's getting channeled into your yoga, into this, into that, and it's just like, it's not that it's not there.
Mm-hmm.
It just can't go to him because you're going
to
still pay.
That's what I was going to say. Somebody you don't want to affect you, someone affects him.
Right. Thank you. But it's important to see how that works. It's a very, you know, that lack of forgiveness, the elements, the memory of things can drive down a sex drive, but it doesn't actually get rid of it. It just channels it into other things. And really, your primary relationship should never be held hostage that way. Because you're holding yourself hostage. It's not his problem. You know, even though it feels that way, the negative pleasure is that I'm going to abuse me and blame you. Now I own you. Victims love the power of being a victim. Negative pleasure is that I have to do this to you. I have to, you know, you wouldn't, you know, this is what, you know, this is where I'm hurt and broken and it's your fault. I don't know.
Hurt myself, but blame you.
It just comes out, yeah. Yeah. So negative pleasure is playing. I mean, you're just remember, folks, this is what you are. You don't have any problems. Nobody's ever hurt you. Nobody's ever decided that you're going to be somehow less than, diminished by. Nothing's ever happened to you other than what you remember, what you decide, what you don't forgive. All of these spiritual things that we talk about, forgiveness and faith and all these things, yeah, they're the core qualities here, but you wouldn't need them if you didn't decide that you loved being such a pain in the ass. Because being a pain in the ass is so much easier than just being whole and full and having strength to be victimized only in the moment, not forever. And coming back It was just like Friday night, remember? Get pushed, those of you that were willing to, able to actually feel the drill and not just make it an activity. As soon as you really got pushed, you were on guard for the rest of the time.
So this is like a huge element of relationship, but particularly sexuality, and it's something that he brought up in the book a lot, which is the power dynamic, you know, of sort of victim, perpetrator, in this case he's using the practice of sadomasochism, S&M, you know, as one of the ways to show the power dynamic that's in sex. And I hope you've all had the experience of really, really smoking hot sex in your life. And you'll know that if you did, there's this power dynamic inside of that.
And it has to shift. If one person always has the power, there's no power dynamic. Okay? Someone who always plays, the team player, always plays the emotional intelligence specialist, always plays the receptive. Okay? That's a lie. You have to, it has, that power dynamic has to go back and forth. That person has to be the initiator sometimes. And the amazing thing about sex is that most people, because it's so uncomfortable to actually figure out how it works, you just put it on a clock like the rest of your life. Always happens in bed, always happens after this hour, it happens, it has to happen between this hour and this hour, because after that, oh yeah, right. It's like, you know, it's date night, looks like you're going to get lucky. It's going to be, you know, unless we have an argument at dinner. unless I happen to have an extra drink and, you know, and I want to get into it with you about driving to soccer, you know, right before bed. Just so happens. The person with the lower sex drive has an amazing technique right before bed of getting in an argument. Right? Anybody got that? No, none of you. But just notice that is just the way to own your power in the shadow. That's a power act. It becomes this amazing tool that you literally, no matter how powerful that person is in the relationship, you take them down, all the way down to groveling on the ground by just that one little activity. And there's lots of them. That's just one fun one.
Come on up.
Come on up. Okay. Right. Yeah. So, and truly, you know, once you've decided that you don't have power in your relationship, the only way to get it is through the shadow. So that's good. And so if that's the only power that you get, you'll use it. But it's not the only power that you get. The power of being who you are is the only power you've ever had. And the idea that power over another person is power is the complete illusion. So what do you need? What do you want? Ask for it. Get it. And if that other person doesn't want that, you're in the wrong relationship. Ask for your needs 1,000 ways, 1,000 times, 1,000 different ways. And when your partner doesn't have a balance with you on those needs, what are you doing with them? Why make their life any more miserable than you've already done? Right?
So this power dynamic doesn't really change, like if you're in a conscious relationship. It just comes into the open. You know, so dealing with it up front and not through the shadow, not through unconscious manipulation and all the little games we play inside relationships. You play with it consciously, and that's the way to recharge your relationship.
And when you love, you will accept your partner's need. And you will be able to merge with that need. And you'll notice that often the person who has the highest sex drive that has been... like it's I always picture it like it's like a puppy, okay? And if every time another dog goes by, you hold that puppy down and say sit, no, and the puppy's like, aah. Right? When you're not looking, it just explodes. It's crazy. It's like, and it just jumps all over the other dog and can't do it. And so it's like crazy. It's like, oh my God, I got another dog, right? But if you had let it, have just go and smell the other dog, just meet for a second, and then go sit. Had you honored its real need, which was just to investigate, instead of, no, not until I say it's okay, you will be dealing with a very different dog. It will not need the same way when you hold something away from someone. Now, it also includes, if you're the lower sex drive, it also includes you. You just assume you don't want it the way they want it because, like you, as you said, that's power. The more I don't want the way he wants it, the more power I get, or she wants it.
The sad truth here is that, especially if you grew up in New England and you get extra, like, negative hit points on your second chakra for being Catholic, it's like 5 negative hit points right there, you know, you have a tremendous amount of repression in your natural, you know, sexual energy. And we walk around thinking that's normal. You know, this other cultures don't have the same, you know, repressiveness. Some have more, some have less. But it's not normal to be as repressed as we are, and we think it is. So then when we see somebody that's not repressed, we're like, what the hell's wrong with that person? You know? And really, your goal in your second chakra is to free yourself from repression. That doesn't mean you need to become a slut. That does not mean you need to act out. Every sexual thought and idea that hits your mind, please don't. Or if you do, like, talk to me about it in private, you know, because it's entertaining. But you write a good book about it. But don't, you don't need to. People think if they, you know, if they let that dog off the leash, it's going to, you know, turn into some, like, ravening monster. And it doesn't. It only does when you restrain it, right? So think about what you need to do to unrepress yourself. And when you do, it frees up life force energy. That's all sexual energy is. And you can channel it in any pathway through your system you want. But as long as you're totally repressed, thinking that's normal, and being angry and bitter and resentful for every other person that's not as repressed as you, it's just like poisoning your system. How do you deal with that with teenagers? I have 4 teenagers, okay? 2 boys, 2 girls, and I am very, very, very upfront with them. So we have very honest, upfront sexual conversations all the time. Well, they're probably way less repressed than you are. Maybe you can have to take some lessons.
I have been.
You can do that?
Yeah, well, you gotta listen. Just like learning how to deal with your partner, you have to listen to what their real needs are. You have to listen to whether they feel like they're going faster than they can. Okay, are they doing it because everybody else is doing it, or are they literally there? And if they're there, you can't stop them anyway. One of the things I had, of course, the same conversation I have with you, I have with my children. And some of the basic elements that they miss in relationship is that, and I had this conversation with my son, who said, I'm having this argument with my girlfriend. He's like, what is the deal with girls? And it's like, I do everything she needs. It's like, everything she needs, I do. And now this one weekend, I want to go with my buddies, and it's this big, huge thing. And I said, okay, so let's just start from the beginning. So you're taking care of all of her needs. Has she asked for you to take care of all those needs? No. I just do it because that's what you do, right? And she's probably taking care of all of his needs that she thinks, right? And so what happens is that when you're taking care of somebody else's needs without them asking, what happens now? You get to own them, right? I just did all that for you. These are like chits. Now I can do whatever I want without even considering you because I've already done all this stuff for you. But the reality is that if you had asked just for your needs, I need to be in a relationship with you in this way, and I'm going to need time alone or time with my friends, and this is what I need to be supported in being. This is who I really need to be. And the reason you don't ask, why don't you ask everybody? Why don't you ask what your real needs are? What? Yeah. You don't want to find out that it's no, and you aren't in a good relationship. So you deny the relationship by caretaking them and never actually coming into relationship. So it's the need that makes the relationship. It's the sharing of your core. What do I need in this relationship? That's when it becomes a relationship. The rest of it's just a dance. It is just a brain dance.
See, your sexuality is yours. We think, and especially in our culture, that our sexuality is triggered by this other person. And that they're the key. We can only be sexual when we're with them, and it's Tuesday night, and Sade's playing, and, you know, that's it, right? Your sexuality is totally yours. You own it. It belongs to you. It does not belong to anybody else. Never can, never will. And then when you're totally in your own sexuality, you can choose to share it with somebody else. And if your partner cannot meet your needs that you ask, and they cannot meet your needs, and this is true for everything, not just sexual needs, you can meet your own needs. Right? And this whole idea that we have to sort of make our partner meet our needs by all the tricks we have to do that is what is crazy.
So, but with that understanding is, and what the 11 minutes was really about is that we are searching to become whole through the dynamic of sacred relationship. And it has to blend both the prostitute and the goddess. Right?
Shadow and the light.
Both of those two things, both those elements have to be present. So the merging that goes on, the intimate merging that goes on in a true surrender sexual experience is always going to be greater than what you can do on your own. Because there's more energy there and there's more commitment there. And it actually takes real surrender to do it. Okay? So it's not that you can't have your own sexuality, but once you have established what I need and who I am, and then I do not hold that back, then the relationship can be, you can be seen for who you really are, and then you can know if this person is the one that can do that with me. And then the prostitute archetype, you know, we're talking about a prostitute book, we talk about the prostitute archetype, which we're going to get into the four primary archetypes this year more and more. The prostitute archetype is going to say, what are these things in my relationship that will never happen that I'm going to give up in me? Or I'm going to do somewhere else? The security of this relationship, lousy sex, security, I'm sticking with the security. Doesn't matter. I'll just deal with that. That'll be just one of the things that we deal with in our relationship. And the prostitute says, you know, when the prostitute is in the shadow, it's angry at both. When the prostitute's out of its light, it just says, you know what? This is so much better. I'm living my life. I'm choosing to cut that part of my second chakra out by choice because I'd rather be secure. Or I'd rather have this. Or I'd rather have, you know, this is, it's safer. We've got children. We've got this. This is, I'm doing the right thing. So each of you have to recognize how much of you are you willing to take a chance on. Because as we said, the greatest fear is that when you really ask for what you know you cannot do without, and they say no, you know you have to leave. And that's the terror. And that's why we don't ask. And that's why we never asked. Because we knew if we asked our parents early on for what we really needed, and they said no, we can't leave. So we'll just won't ask. You want to come up and ask that question?
No.
Okay. All right. So, are we lying to ourselves that any one person can fulfill our needs throughout our lives? Okay. What did it say in 11 minutes? Why did she leave? Why after the most unbelievable, earth-shattering, sacred sex that she ever had in her life that made her the woman that she is and really allowed her to know her power, did she pack her bags and leave? Why? Right. She was going to stay in that relationship was to take that chance every day. And some days it wouldn't do it. But to assume that it will always will lead to pain. To assume that it will never leads to pain. Okay? To live your life and bring your passion every day and say, this is what I bring, and then that level of commitment can be met. You bring half of you, they'll never bring more than half. You bring three quarters, they'll bring three quarters. It's pretty good. You bring all of you, they will bring all they can bring each day, each time, all they can bring. And when you bring all of you, you'll realize that whatever they are able to bring is enough, because this is about sharing what we can. Where, how far can we go? So does that make sense? So it's not about, see, the ego thinks, okay, I'll get a lock on this person that's going to do this for the whole time. And it's not. And one of the problems with having a soul is that souls are very, very fickle when it comes to when things are over. And it could have been 20 years of a relationship that was just fantastic, and then all of a sudden it just dried up. It just died. And that was because the soul said, you already got your contract. Your contract was taken care of there. So when you have, if you have a contract with somebody for passionate relationship, and that's how you live your life, you may have other areas in your relationship that are tough to deal with. Okay? But each one, so the question for you is, what's the whole package? This is a big part of it. It's that surrender and that passion for the relationship. But it's a passion for being you in the relationship. And does that person, can that person hold your passion and not shy away, not be repulsed by it, not be pulled back? That's the question. It's not whether it's always responded to the same way. It's whether I feel like I can constantly bring who I am in this relationship. Okay. All right. One more. What you can see is that last night revealed that you haven't even started. If you were really his slave, if you really had less of a sex drive than he did, which you don't, by any stretch of the imagination, you probably have triple his. Okay, it's just been your lie. That lie is done. You are done with that lie. But you haven't even started living for you yet. You don't even know what it looks like. You showed up last night, and everybody in the room was like, who the hell is that? We've never seen that power in you, and neither has Dave, because you're terrified of showing it to him.
This is something that happens a lot in healer training program, and it happens in this year, very typical, that people come into the program thinking their relationship is broken, they need to get a divorce, they don't know what to do, they know they're not all the way in. And you figure out that you've never been in that relationship. You've never been in that relationship out of defense, and you have no idea what is actually there because you've never shown up. So if you're one of those people, don't run out and get a divorce. That's not the answer. You don't know whether or not you're going to want a divorce or you need one until you show up for real in that relationship.
So just let me share before, you know, and then we're going to shift gears here in a big way. When I started the Healer Training Program, I also, about the second year, realized that there was something really wrong in my relationship, and it was me. You know, that there was some real shift that I needed to make, and I had never really, you know, I was more in that sort of like doing, thinker, rule keeper, I'm going to be the good guy, I'm always the good dad, I'm always committed, I'm always loyal, I'm always, you know, all that stuff was there, okay? But I hadn't ever had come into the relationship from my feelings, from who I am. And when I did and started to work through that, there was an initial rejection. But then what happened was that over 4, 5, 6 years, that the relationship got better and better and better and better and better and deeper and stronger, and then she hit a wall, a real wall. See, what we'd had before I went to the program was just completely fabricated laws of you do this, I do that, I blame you, you blame me, blah, 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 blah. It was just a totally based on defense. After then working through it, we both walked away from the relationship realizing that we were with the wrong people. And there was no your fault, my fault. We both owned where we lived energetically, passionately, what we needed, because we were willing to ask for our needs, because I was able to come in from this work and offer that to the relationship. I also learned about relationship by doing that. You don't go find one that's going to work. You take the one you have and you bring yourself to it because you never dealt with it from you. Does that make sense?
You don't even know what you've got.
Right.
Or who you're with until you do that.
What?
If you don't, you're just going to be
right. Right. Does everybody understand that? So it's really, it's a, you know, I tend to definitely be a kinesthetic learner. I have to live it through my body. And so I had to learn that lesson. And I really thought, I mean, you know, as we were doing it, I'm like, this is the love of my life. This is what I want. This is what I desire. But
until sixth, seventh chakra, every year.
Every year.
You call me, you're like, I don't know about this relationship I'm in.
What is happening? All of a sudden, I'm like realizing there's a whole lot of things missing here. And then I would set about in my creative idealist, knowledgeable achiever, okay, we can work on that one, we can work on this one, and we'd do it. And it would come up, but it would always come up to about 75% of what I really needed. And I was always coming up to probably about 35% of what she really needed. But it wasn't enough to make the relationship a spiritual cause, a spiritual mission. And your relationships have to be spiritual missions. They have to be worth fighting for. They have to be worth dying for. If you haven't found that yet, find it. Start with the person you're with. Chances are really good that it's there somewhere if you're both willing to reveal that about yourselves. Okay?
It's so amazing when you come out of defense, suddenly your partner does too.
Okay.